Friends, after the introduction of the trade finance in chapter 1, we are moving towards the another chapter of the book, academic book, that is types of trade finance instruments. What are the types of instruments used in the trade finance that we are going to discuss in this chapter? So our objective is to understand some important instruments that are used in trade finance. Number two, to understand the important characteristic features which decides the uses of this instrument, right? Next one is to understand the financial instrument to manage the credit, performance, and the transactional risk associated with cross-border trade. So with this limited objective, the structure of the presentation will consist of taking its overview of the instruments, then each instrument in detail, that is letter of credit, bill of exchange, documentary collection, bank guarantee, factoring and forfeiting, open account and advance payment, comparison of major trade instruments, and factors which are influencing the choice of the trade finance instrument. Okay, so this is our structure of presentation. Now to start with, I can say that there are two types of instruments. One is a fund-based instrument and second one is a non-fund-based instrument. So the fund-based instruments such as packing credit, export bill discounting, buyer's credit, and working capital loan, which provides the direct financial support to the exporters or importers. In case of non-fund-based instrument, such as letter of credit, bank guarantee, which serve as a risk mitigant tools without immediately affecting the financier's cash flow. That means always it is a contingent liability and not constituent's liability. That is non-fund-based instruments like LC, guarantees, etc. Alternative financing mechanism, which consists of different types of instruments like factoring, forfeiting, trade credit, insurance, trade credit insurance. This may offer the customized solution for specific trade finance needs. We have to understand that, right? Now, trade finance instruments, these are actually the financial instruments or products, or it, you can call it as a mechanism used by the buyer, seller, or importer, exporter, and the banks to facilitate the trade transaction and manage the associated risk. The tools are designed to purpose. Tools are designed to improve the liquidity, mitigate the payment and performance risk, enable the international transactions, and enhance the trust between the buyers and sellers. Now, when to use this instrument is depending upon the type of transactions. Again, buyer and seller relationship. There are risk like country risk. Then creditworthiness of the parties. These are the some of the factors which affects the selection of the instruments. Then currency volatility, political risk and regulatory compliance. As stated earlier also, the trade finance instruments can be broadly classified into two categories, fund-based and non-fund-based. Let us understand one by one. Now, fund-based instruments, which are used to finance the working capital requirement of the trade participants. Okay? First one is a packing credit, which is popularly known as a PC. Pre-shipment credit. Okay. This is a short-term loan. Packing credit is a short-term loan provided to the exporter by banks or financial institution for processing, procurement, processing, manufacturing, and packing the goods before it becomes ready for the shipment. Right? This is packing credit, fund-based instrument. Second fund-based instrument is export bill discounting. That is always happened at the post-shipment stage, after the shipment is made. So the bank purchases complete set of export bill before their maturity and allowing the exporters to receive the immediate funds. Then buyer's credit. This is nothing but a loan facility arranged by the importer through the foreign banks or financial institution to pay for the goods which are purchased from the exporter. Okay? So, the loan facility arranged by the importer through the bank, from the bank and financial institution, is a buyer's credit for making the import payment. Then supplier's credit. Supplier's credit is extended by the supplier of the goods, that is exporter. Supplier of the goods, that is exporter, with an exporter receiving the payment through the financial institution. So extending the credit period is a supplier's credit. Now next one is a working capital loan. Working capital loan is for the general purpose. Loan extended to finance day-to-day trade operations is working capital loan. Coming down to understand after the fund base, now it is a non-fund-based instrument. Now non-fund-based instrument consists of, number one, the letter of credit. It is nothing but a financial guarantee from the issuing bank to the seller, that is exporter, ensuring that the payment upon presentation of the specified documents will be definitely made. That is letter of credit. And this is the guarantee. Okay? Now the bank guarantee. This bank guarantee is nothing but it is a commitment by the bank to cover the losses. Cover the losses if party fails to fulfill the contractual obligation. If they fail the contract, the guarantee will be invoked and the bank will have to make the payment. And bank will fulfill its commitment. Performance guarantee. A specific type of guarantee issued by the bank ensures that the exporter performs as per the terms of the contract. If it doesn't perform, the performance guarantee can be invoked and the buyer may claim the amount from the bank. And a bid bond. Bid bond is nothing but it is a guarantee which is issued during the bidding process to assure that the buyer, that the bidder will execute the contract if it is selected or if it is contract is awarded to him. Risk mitigation and the credit enhancement tool. Risk mitigation, there are specialized instruments which are aimed at mitigating the country political and payment risk. Now, what are those instruments will mitigate the credit credit risk? Export credit insurance. Under export credit insurance, which is issued by ECGC, covers the exporter against the non-payment risk due to the commercial and political event. Commercial and political events. Then factoring. The exporter sells the receivables to a factors, that is financial institution, at the discount in return of immediate cash, that is factoring. And forfeiting is nothing but it is a factoring only. Only thing is that it is used for the capital goods of export. The characteristic feature is it is a long term. Beyond 1 year, up to 7 years it can go, that is a forfeiting. And this is without recourse, whereas factoring is with recourse to the exporter. The trade credit insurance, protects the seller against the risk of non-payment by domestic or foreign buyers. One by one, we have to see this now. Letter of credit. Letter of credit, as I define, it is a written undertaking. Underline the word undertaking. LC is a written undertaking by the bank, known as issuing bank, on behalf of the buyer or importer to pay to the seller or exporter a specified amount which is mentioned in the document or maybe LC, provided that seller presents the document as required in compliance with the terms and conditions of LC. This is one of the most secure and widely used instrument in international trade. And the purpose of letter of credit is to mitigate the payment risk between buyer and seller. Ensure the payment is made only upon presentation of the compliant shipping and trade document. And number three, it facilitates the trade where trust, distance, or regulations may otherwise hinder the direct transactions. Under letter of credit, there are few parties involved. One is an applicant, who is a buyer or importer. Beneficiary means the seller or exporter in whose favor the LC, letter of credit, is issued. Then issuing bank. Normally, issuing bank is the importer's bank or buyer's bank that issues the letter of credit and undertakes to make the payment. Now, advising bank. Advising bank is nothing but it is an established in generally in exporter's country, which authenticates and conveys the LC to the exporter or letter of credit to the exporter. That means advising bank, advising letter of credit. Then confirming bank. This is an optional. It may there or may not be there. But if bank or buyer or ultimately supplier decides that the buyer's bank and buyer, he doesn't have much faith on them, then he may say that I want this LC to be confirmed by some other bank which has a good reputation. So, a bank that adds its own guarantee in addition, under the circumstances, after then issuing bank find out the another bank in exporter's country and request them to add its confirmation, which is an additional guarantee to the LC. And after adding confirmation, LC will be advised. So there will be a double payment obligation alongside the issuing bank. So in addition, not double, it is an additional obligation of the payment. Even though original LC issuing bank fails, the confirming bank will make the payment to the supplier of the goods. Next party is a negotiating bank. Negotiating bank is the bank that examines the document and may pay to the exporter upon compliance of its documentation. Having understood the parties, let us understand now what are the types of letters of credit. Revocable letter of credit. Revocable means terms and conditions of the letter of credit can be changed at any point of time after its issuance without consent of other party. That is why this is very risky and rarely this is used or not at all this kind of LC is used for the international trade. Irrevocable. Irrevocable under irrevocable LC. This LC cannot be altered or cancelled without the consent of all the parties And this is the standard form of PLC in international trade, and it is widely accepted. Another type of PLC is a confirmed ALC. A second bank, as I explained just now, a second bank, usually in the exporter's country, adds its guarantee to the LC, providing the additional assurance to the seller is called confirmed LC. Next LC is a site LC. Payment is made immediately upon presentation and verification of the document under this LC, whereas another LC is a usance or term LC. Under this, payment is made after specified period, say 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 180 days, etc., from the date of shipment or presentation of the document. Another type of letter of credit is a revolving LC. Revolving LC means the automatically, after each transaction, the value of the used amount is getting reinstated automatically. So value will remain as it is. This is suitable for the regular shipment over the period. Maybe 1 year 10 shipment, one LC for particular amount, say 50% of that amount, LC will be opened, and each transaction, when goods are exported, when that portion of LC is utilized, that will again be getting reinstated and original value is established. So this helps to issue the multiple LCs, and it helps to reduce the cost. That is called revolving LC. Then transferable LC. Transferable LC allows the beneficiary. Beneficiary means to whose favor the LC is established. Transferable LC allows the beneficiary to transfer part of that LC or complete value of the LC to one or more third party beneficiary, suppliers. Okay. That is transferable letter of credit. Then back-to-back letter of credit. This type of letter of credit is used when the original LC cannot be transferred. Original LC, if cannot be transferred, then back-to-back LC will be established. Second LC is issued based on the first LC, that is back-to-back LC. Then standby LC. It is nothing but, it is like a guarantee. The standby LC functions more like a guarantee which ensures the payment if the applicant is in default. Now, documents required under letter of credit. Type of LCs we have seen. Parties to the letter of credit we have seen. Type of LCs we have seen. Now we'll see the document required under letter of credit. The minimum document, commercial invoice, bill of lading or airway bill, that is transport document, packing list, certificate of origin, inspection certificate, if required, insurance certificate, other documents which are stipulated in letter of credit terms. Working mechanism of letter of credit. Buyer and seller, it starts with this. Buyer and seller agrees to trade and decide to use the LC. So there will be an agreement. So buyer applies to the issuing bank. Once the agreement is executed between buyer and seller, then buyer applies to his bank, that is issuing bank, for letter of credit. Issuing bank issues the letter of credit, and LC will be sent to the advising bank. When advising bank receives it, which authenticates it and forward it to the exporter, then exporter ships the goods based on that LC and submits the required document to his bank. If the documents comply with the LC terms, payment is made after negotiation by his banker. Then issuing bank reimburses negotiating bank and collects the document for delivery to the importer. Once the importer receives the document, he can go to the customs and clear the goods. This is, in short, the small working cycle of the letter of credit. Now, advantages. Why LC is required? What are the advantages? To the exporter, it assures the payment on fulfilling the documentary requirement, reduces the default risk from unknown buyers, and to the importer, it ensures the goods are shipped before the payment is made. Trade terms and the delivery conditions are clearly defined. Now, regulatory and legal framework of letter of credit. Regulatory and legal framework. LC is governed by Uniform Customs and Practice for Documentary Credit, that is UCPDC, publication number 600, issued by International Chamber of Commerce, ICC. And letter of credit are subject to compliance with the Foreign Exchange Management Act, FEMA, with regulation in India. RBI guidelines governs the use of LC by Indian banks and corporates. Next instrument is bill of exchange. Letter of credit we have seen. Next instrument is a bill of exchange or promissory note. Bill of exchange is nothing but it is a negotiable instrument act. It is a written unconditional order by one party, which is called a drawer or maker, to another party, that is drawee, on whom it is drawn, to pay a certain sum of money either immediately at sight or at a fixed future date to a specified person, that is third person or bearer of that bill of exchange. What are the features of the bill of exchange? It is drawn by the creditor, drawer. Creditor means drawer, on a debtor, that is drawee, on whom it is drawn. It is drawn by creditor on debtor. This must be unconditional for a definite amount. There should not be condition for fulfillment or comply. And amount should be definite one. Then payment is made either on demand, that is called sight, or after specified period, that is after some time, that is usance bill. This becomes effective only when the accepted by drawee, that is on whom it is drawn. Bill of exchange must be accepted by the drawee on whom it is drawn, that is importer of the goods or buyer. Now, parties involved in the bill of exchange. There is a drawer, there is a drawee, and there is a payee as per Negotiable Instrument Act. Now, types of bill of exchange. Sight bill of exchange, which is payable immediately on presentation. Usance bill of exchange, that is payable after specified time period of 30, 60 or 90 days or 180 days, whatever it may be. Then, inland bill. Inland bill is drawn and payable within the country, and foreign bill is drawn in one country and payable in another country, that is called foreign bill. These are the types of bill of exchange. Now coming down to understand the promissory note. What is promissory note? Promissory note is a written unconditional promise. It is written unconditional promise, which is made by one person, that is a maker, to another person to pay a certain sum of money on demand or at a future specified date. Therefore, there are only two parties. There are only two parties. And this is a promise. And this is not at all an order. This is a promise and this is not at all an order. There involves only two parties, maker and payee. And it must be signed by the maker and state a clear amount and the payment date. Unlike the bill of exchange, acceptance is not required. Acceptance is not required. This is the difference between bill of exchange and the promissory note. Now, who are the parties involved? One is maker, another is a payee. Maker means the person to who makes the promise to pay. That is a borrower. The borrower prepares it. And payee, that is person to whom payment is made, promised, that is a lender, to whom he is giving, that is a payee. Now, bill of exchange uses in trade finance and promissory note uses in trade finance. If you compare both, one can say bill of exchange often used in export-import transaction, whereas promissory note commonly used in supplier-buyer relationship or short-term lending domestically. Okay. Then, bill of exchange can be discounted with the bank for early payment, whereas promissory note serves as a proof of a debt and can be used to raise the finance. Bill of exchange provides the documentary evidence of the debt, whereas promissory note can be endorsed or by negotiated unless it is marked non-negotiable. Bill of exchange accepted by the bank for bill discounting or collection, and promissory note may be discounted by the financial institution to meet the liquidity needs. Otherwise, there is no need of discounting. Now, comparison of bill of exchange and promissory note. As far as nature is concerned, bill of exchange is order to pay, and promissory note, promise to pay. So, order and promise, these two words make the difference between bill of exchange and promissory note. Parties. There are three parties in bill of exchange and two parties in promissory note. Three parties, one is a drawer, drawee, payee, and promissory note, two parties, maker and payee. Acceptance. As far as acceptance is concerned, required from the drawee in case of bill of exchange. And there is no requirement of acceptance in case of promissory note. Now, who issues it? Bill of exchange is issued by the seller or exporter, which is called creditor. And promissory note is issued by buyer or importer, debtor. So, exactly opposite. Then uses, bill of exchange, when it is used, trade settlement, export or import. And promissory note, short-term borrowing or internal transactions. Transferability. Bill of exchange can be transferred, endorsed. But promissory note can be endorsed unless it is stated or otherwise. Generally, no. Okay? Now, documentary collection. In this, the exporter documentary collection in this exporter entrust their bank, that is remitting bank. Exporter's bank is generally called as a remitting bank, to forward the shipping and commercial documents to the importer's bank. To importer's bank, the collecting presenting bank. The instruction to release the document to the importer only upon payment or acceptance of the bill of exchange. So, in short, in documentary collection, documents are prepared by the exporter, given to his bank. This bank submits it to the bank of the buyer. So, role of the exporter's bank is a remitting bank. He remits the document, okay, to the buyer's bank. That is why his role is a remitting bank's role. And upon compliance of the documents or receipt of the document received, if the buyer makes the payment, then buyer's bank give the document to the buyer, that is importer, and sends the money. Collect the money from the customer, collect the money from the importer and send it to the supplier's bank, that is remitting bank. So, here collecting bank's role is performed by the buyer's bank, and remitter's role is performed by the exporter's bank. Right? Clear? So, it is a bank-intermediated but not bank-guaranteed method of securing the payment. Because, one, if the buyer is not making the payment, bank is not making the payment. Bank is not remitting the funds to sending the funds to remitting bank. Right? So, unlike letter of credit, a documentary collection does not carry the payment guarantee of the banks and relies on bankers' willingness to ability to pay. So, documentary collection purpose is to control and transfer the title of goods. What is the title of goods? Title of goods is a transfer document. Transfer document is nothing but it is a bill of lading. Okay, number one. Second purpose of documentary collection is to secure the payment or acceptance from importers before they gain the access to the goods. This is second. Third one is to reduce the risk for exporter as compared to the open account trade. Little bit less risk. Now, who are the parties involved in the documentary collection? Drawer, that is exporter, who initiate the transaction and hands over the document to bank. Drawee, that is importer, who receives the document against the payment or acceptance. Remitting bank is an exporter's bank that sends the document to collecting bank. Collecting and presenting bank is the importer's bank that presents the document and collects the payment or acceptance. Type of documentary collection. What are the types of documentary collection? According to URC, that is Uniform Rules for Collection, issued by the International Chamber of Commerce, there are two primary types. One is document against payment, that is called DP. And second one is document against acceptance, that is DA. Under document against payment, documents are released to the importer only upon full payment is made. That is why DP documents are suitable for the exporters who wants to ensure that payment before releasing the goods. So payment is usually made at site. Now, document against acceptance. Documents are released to the importer against the acceptance of the usance bill of exchange, promising to pay at latter date. This is used when the exporter is willing to provide a short-term credit to the importer. Greater credit risk than DP. Under acceptance, there is a greater risk of payment, higher risk of payment than DP, that is document against payment, because he has taken possession of the goods. Importer has taken possession of goods, assurance that I will make the payment after 30 days, 60 days, and perhaps he may not pay also. That means, and there is no control by the bank on the goods once released. That is why there is a higher risk. Now, typical documents involved in document under collection. Commercial invoice, transfer document, bill of exchange or bill of lading. Not bill of exchange, sorry. It's a bill of lading. It's under transfer documentation, certificate of origin, issuance certificate, packing list, and bill of exchange. It may be either on DA basis or DP basis. Process flow. Exporter ships the goods and collects the required document. Exporter submits the document and collects the instruction to the remitting bank. Remitting bank forwards them to the collecting bank. Collecting bank informs the importer and requests the payment, that is DP or acceptance or DA basis. On payment of acceptance, the importer receives the document to claim the goods. Collecting bank remits the funds and acceptance back to the exporter via remitting bank. Now, advantages of document under collection. For exporter, document under collection advantage is lower cost than the letter of credit. Okay, then it retains the control over the goods until the payment or acceptance. Until. After that, no control. So there will be little bit risk control is there. So useful for transaction with a moderate risk. Moderate risk. For importers, it is more flexible than LC. No need to credit facility or LC. Or LC arrangement with their bank. So lowering the banking charges. So it is a beneficial to the importer. Disadvantage and the risk. No bank guarantee. So document under collection, there is no bank guarantee. Bank only handle the document and do not assure any payment. There will be a country risk. Political or economic instability may prevent a payment or acceptance if there is any political or economic instability in the buyer's country. Okay. Then credit risk. Credit risk, especially it occurs when the documents are drawn under acceptance. So buyer may default on accepted bill. Buyer may default on accepted bills. So there will be again delay risk. Delay in handling may affect the timing of the customer clearance and delivery. Legal framework consists of, and it is governed internationally by URC 522, that is Uniform Rules for Collection, issued by International Chamber of Commerce. In India, this is subject to FEMA, that is Foreign Exchange Management Act, RBI guidelines, and customs regulation. When to use the documentary collection? The question is, when to use the documentary collection? When there is an established relationship and moderate trust between the exporter and importer. When exporter wants some security but does not want the cost or complexity of a letter of credit. And when country and political risk are low, that time the documentary collection instrument can be used.